Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, well, good morning. While I'm getting set up here, what I'd like you to do is turn to somebody next to you and let them know that it's nice to see them. Even if you have to fake it. See what I did there? I made sure that everybody was greeted. Boom, just like that. We're all good. But it is great to see you. Those of you who are here in person, love to see your faces. Those of you joining us online, Arvada, Aurora, down there in Arizona, Nebraska, we see you guys. You're welcome too, and we're excited to have you along with us as well. We are in a sermon series called The Marks of Maturity. And if you've been kind of going through this series with us, what we've been looking at is what it takes for us to grow and mature in our faith, in our walk with Jesus. And we landed on this idea that just because time passes doesn't mean we actually grow and mature. That time can pass and we can really kind of stay the same. And so there's some intentional decisions, there's choices that we make to engage with the Holy Spirit's work in us that produces growth and maturity in us. And that ultimately what we're looking to do is be men and women of God who demonstrate fruitfulness in our lives and resiliency, that we're able to push through hard things to grow and participate in the things of God. And so time passing doesn't necessarily guarantee that we're going to grow and mature, but as time passes, I can guarantee this, and you've already found this to be true, as time passes, you will face difficulties. And you're like, yeah, hashtag 2020, that's been my whole life for like 8 months, Pastor. Great insight there, right? There's a number of different ways that we're maybe experiencing difficulties right now. Maybe for you, it's disappointment. Maybe that has to do with things that you were hoping and dreaming for your life. Maybe that has to do with the election. Maybe you're going through trials and difficulties that are very real pressings in your life. Maybe it has to do with finances, or maybe it has to do with something in your health or just the circumstances of your life that you find yourself in. Maybe you're dealing with suffering, that there is a sense of your life being kind of unfair and you bearing a disproportionate burden than maybe those around you. Maybe you're going through some pretty difficult temptations where you are really entertaining thoughts of veering away from following Jesus into following other things. And all of those things may be true right now. None of them may be true for you right now, but all of us will face those in varying ways just as time passes and we live life. And what we're going to look at this morning is that the mark of maturity is not found or demonstrated in the absence of those things. Sometimes we think that if we're going through difficulty, that says something about us or a diminishment of our faith, and that's not true. You will face difficulties. That's a guarantee. But the mark of maturity is what results in you as a result of the difficulties that you face. And again, we're all going to deal with difficulties in our life. In John chapter 16, Jesus gives these words of comfort to his disciples. In verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so one of the things that Jesus does is he makes it very, very clear that you and I are going to face difficulty and hardship in all of those varying forms. But we can do it in a way where we overcome as we go through it, and we experience the peace of Jesus at work in our lives through that process as well. That there's a way to go through it in a way that demonstrates maturity and closeness to the Lord. When my little brothers were in high school, they had a class that was required for them. It was one that I wish that had been available to me, but it was a class that was called Life Skills. And it was a one semester long class that dealt with practical skills that you should probably have in life. Everything from like minor home repairs and kind of some auto related things to understanding how to budget money and balance a checkbook. Things that a lot of us know now are important because we learned the hard way and nobody invested maybe those things in us at that time. But in the class, one of the automotive things that every student in that class had to learn is they had to learn how to change a flat tire. They all had to learn how to change a tire. And so they sat in this class and they were kind of walked through the process. They had kind of some demonstrations of it, but it was basically kind of like a pass-fail type of an event that at the end of kind of learning and kind of walking through some of the rudimentary skills, they had to go out to the parking lot and they would choose one of the seniors' vehicles. And it's like, we're going to change one of your tires today. And the students would have to go and they would have to do all of the things to find the jack and all of the things within the vehicle, raise it up, take the tire off, put it back on. They'd had to go through the whole step. And every student had to learn how to do that. And it was an environment that gave them a challenge and a difficulty that they were most certainly going to face at some point in their life and gave them kind of the skill set and a way to approach it with confidence and maturity to really rectify that situation themselves. And many of us, if not all of us, would be able to say at this point in our life, we've had a flat tire or a few. And what was really interesting is several years after this class had concluded, one of the girls who had been in the class put up a Facebook post that was backcasting to her time in this class. And she was driving down in Southern California on one of the freeways and had an absolute blowout, was able to get her vehicle under control and merge over to the shoulder. And she changed her tire herself. And even as she's on the side of the freeway dealing with this thing, and people are kind of stopping by to help out and check in on her, which I thought was actually pretty cool. There's still some people that do that from time to time. But people were coming around and they were like, hey, do you need help? And she's like, no, man, I'm almost done. And she just sent them back down the road because she didn't need it. She had developed the ability to deal with that difficulty. And then it was proven true as she had to face it in real life, in real time once again. And what we're going to look at this morning is how God allows for these types of things to enter into our life to do two things. One is it reveals maybe places that we need to grow, things that we thought were true of us that maybe aren't, right? Sometimes our maturity isn't what is exposed in a time of difficulty. It's our immaturity. The other thing, though, is it creates an opportunity for us to grow and to develop a maturity in our lives, both in a practical sense here in changing a tire, but certainly in a faith sense of being able to stand on God's word and to press into him when life is difficult, to rely on his strength and on his name and to place our hope in Jesus. And so if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it out and raise it up. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, go ahead and open that up to your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us soft hearts towards your word today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your word. Give us the leading of your Holy Spirit and a courageous will to act so that we would put it into practice in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So in James's letter, he begins with really a shout out to difficulty and the potential for it to produce great things in our lives. If you're familiar with the book of James, James is a very practical book. It's not just spiritual and theological ideas and treatise and theory, but it gets down to just kind of the nitty gritty. How are you going to live your faith out? And so James is one of my favorite books. It's also one of my most frustrating books because it gets right in your face and says, yeah, I know that you say that you believe that, but are you demonstrating that in your life? And so it can be overtly challenging to be in that book. And he opens his letter to the church with this idea. James chapter 1 in verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's his opener. Pass. Can we skip this and find a book on like love or God's grace or some provision? Like James just gets right to it. He says, have an attitude towards difficulties in life that celebrates it as an opportunity. And he moves on from there because this is what that opportunity brings. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. As we began this sermon series, we talked about out of Psalm 1, two things that are demonstrated in spiritual maturity. One is fruitfulness, that there is a fruitfulness to the things being expressed in our life. But number two is resiliency. There's this ability to endure hardship or to endure difficulty. Another way to think about perseverance is stick-to-itiveness. Like you're not going to give up. You're not going to fade out. You're not going to fall short, but that you're going to press through. You're going to endure to the end. And what James says here is that when we face difficulty, it's an opportunity for our faith, or our faith to be tested. And not in like a pass-fail sense, but in a way that gives a verdict as to what is true about it. And that in that process, perseverance is developed in us. We become more resilient having gone through difficult things with Jesus. And he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may, look at this, be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so Jesus makes it clear that you and I are going to face difficulties. We don't get a free pass out of that. And just the passing of time is going to bring difficulties into our lives. But James challenges us that when we face those things, we have an opportunity to grow as a result. Listen to me. Everybody will go through difficulties. Not everybody will grow through difficulties. We'll all go through them. We'll all have to face different trials and kind of obstacles in our life. Some are things of our own making and our own self-sabotage. Some are just the general workings of a broken world. We'll all have to go through some of those things. But whether or not we grow is oftentimes determined by the way that we choose to go through those things. And so we'll all go through it, but the goal is for us to grow through it so that we become mature. So James is not concerned with if you're going to deal with problems. He's concerned with how you're going to deal with problems. And that if we would allow the Lord to work in us and to press through and endure in the process, that we become mature as a result. So the mark of maturity that we're going to look at today is the ability to grow in difficulty. Not just go through difficulty, but to grow in the midst of that. And I'm going to give you four questions this morning that you can ask right now that will help you determine whether the difficulties that you're facing in your life, whether you're just going through them or whether you are growing through them. These will be kind of ways that you can look at it. And depending on kind of what's going on in your world and depending on kind of the things that you are experiencing right now, you may be facing disappointment. You may be dealing with suffering. You may be dealing with trials or difficulties or obstacles or adversity, or you may be wrestling with temptation, and all of those things would fall into this. And as you deal with those things, walking with Jesus through them, here's some questions that you can ask whether or not you're going or whether or not you're growing. All right, so question number one, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. The first question that you can ask, and this is a very easy one to discern, but here's the question: what am I saying? What am I saying? Another way to think about this is just like pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. And here's what I have a tendency to see in me and in others when we face difficulty. When I'm just going through difficulty, I'm a complainer. Not this service, but the 8:30 service, full of complainers. 10 o'clock, you guys are dialed in. Right? What am I saying? So if I'm disappointed in what's going on in the world, am I complaining about it, or is there another response that I have? If I'm disappointed with election results, am I complaining, or is there another way to deal with that? If I'm disappointed in what I'm seeing in my children or in my interaction with a coworker, or when I'm looking at just kind of the other issues of my life or other areas of my life, am I prone to complain? Can I tell you, if you are complaining in that space, you're not growing in that space. You're just simply going through it. And oftentimes when we complain, what our hope is and our desire is that we could get out of that problem, get out of that difficulty as quickly as possible with as little thing changing in us as possible. So are you complaining about the situation? And if so, the contrast, really a mark of maturity in difficulty, is rather than complaining about the situation, to praise in spite of the situation. So pay attention to what you are saying. Are you complaining or are you praising? And scripture is full of examples of people who went through very difficult times who chose to respond in praise, chose to respond in prayer and worship, chose to respond in a way that directed their hope and their allegiance and their focus on the Lord, reminded them of who he was and how he had been good. We did that this morning, right? As we sang, you are good, you are good. And that might have been something you had to declare in faith because the situation that you're in right now maybe isn't good. Maybe you have plenty of things in your life that if you were to evaluate those on their own, you would say, this is the opposite of good. This is heartbreaking. This is brokenness. This is despairing. This is not good, but I know that God is. I'm going to praise in spite of that thing, not just complain about that thing. And what happens is that begins to change, not necessarily our situation, but it changes us in it. And a really interesting thing is once we take that posture and that change begins to be worked in us, very often the situation changes as well. And you can see that in scripture on numerous occasions where the situation was changed because praise was introduced as the response of people. You can see this in the Old Testament with the Israelites wandering in the desert, and you see them complain and complain and complain, and they just keep going through the same thing over and over again. And then finally, when they choose to turn their complaining into praise, you see them cross over into the Promised Land, and the very first military battle that they have in opposition to the enemy is at Jericho, and they don't fight. They walk around the city in circles, and then at the end they give a shout of praise and the walls come down. Like very often there is a change of the circumstance on the heels of praise, but primarily it changes us first. And if you are dealing with maybe a difficulty in your life that keeps coming back around, something that you kind of keep complaining about but not growing through or maturing through, can I let you know that if you want to see that cycle stop, you've got to grow and mature. Start praising God in the middle of that circumstance, because there's things that he will allow into our life. He's not the author of brokenness. He doesn't bring that. He doesn't come to bring suffering or disappointment to our lives, but he does allow things in our lives as opportunities for us to be refined in our walk with the Lord and to grow in our maturity. And if we keep going through the same kind of cycle, it could be that we're just choosing not to grow, and we will continue to have to go through that until we learn it. So pay attention to what you're saying. Number two, here's a question to ask just about your perspective. If you're dealing with difficulty, a disappointment, if you're dealing with suffering in your life, if you're dealing with temptation or a trial, ask this question: who is responsible? Okay, who is responsible? Because here's what happens. When I just go through difficulties, then I'm looking for somebody to blame. It's going to be their fault or his fault or all y'all's fault, right? Somebody's going to be at fault for this. I'm going to look at life. I'm going to look at the brokenness in the world. I'm going to blame it on the devil. I'm going to blame it on the president. I'm going to blame it on my spouse. I'm going to blame it. Somebody is at fault for this when I'm just going through difficulty. But if you're going to grow through difficulty, you assume responsibility for your own obedience. Okay, that doesn't mean that it's all your fault. That doesn't mean that you've invited all of those things. So don't twist this. Don't make this something that the enemy is allowed to kind of pervert in your life. But more often than not, I will complain and blame others. And if I'm in that place, I'm not growing. I won't mature. In fact, I'll stay right where I'm at, and I will likely repeat the cycle somewhere else in another relationship or in another expression in my life. Who is responsible? Am I blaming someone else? Am I blaming something else? Or am I taking responsibility for my part? And I may not even have a very big role in the thing that I'm facing, but I do have a role. And so I get to choose my response. I get to choose my attitude. I get to choose whether I complain or whether I praise. Those are all things that are in my decision-making. And so how am I responding to that? Am I taking responsibility? One of the heroes in scripture is David. Many of you would be familiar with King David or shepherd boy David when he's fought Goliath. And one of the things that is said of him is that he was a man after God's own heart. That's a fancy way of saying, you know what? He demonstrated the heart of God, or he had a heart that God approved of in the way that he lived and led. And it's an interesting thing to have said of him, because early on in his life, you would say, yeah, you can see that in spades, like he had it dialed in. But later in life, he made some pretty big oopsies. He had some pretty big uh-ohs, if you're familiar with his life. And you might be left scratching your head. How could God approve of that man? How could God approve of that person's heart? But one of the things that you find with David is that whenever he was facing issues in his life for which he was responsible, he always assumed responsibility for his part. He was a man who was prone to repentance. He was constantly going to the Lord and saying, you know what, God, I fell short here. I failed there, and allowing the Lord to do something new and redemptive in his life. In Psalm 51, after a particular dark time in his life where he had an incredible amount of failure, he penned these words. He said, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. He said, you know what, God, I need to be changed. It's a mark of maturity to be able to admit your fault. It's a mark of maturity to take responsibility for the things that you are responsible for. It's a mark of maturity to be moved in repentance. It's a mark of maturity to invite the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to reveal what is true of you that may need to be changed. Now, just in the same breath, it is a mark of immaturity to assume responsibility that's not yours. And so when you find yourself, if you're wrestling through things where there's codependence, where you are assuming the responsibility for the results of other people's choices, like there's some growth that's needed there. The Lord needs to set you free from some of those things. But if you are blaming others and avoiding the things that really are in your wheelhouse, there's some growth that's needed there. The Lord needs to bring some deliverance. There's another place in Psalm 139 where David is writing, and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. He invites the Lord to come and to look at what's going on in his life and to display what is true of that and to bring necessary change if it's there. So who is responsible? And for places in your life where you're dealing with difficulty and you're going through that, look for how can I respond in faith? How can I respond in obedience? Focus on those things rather than blaming whatever it is that you're going through on any number of reasons before it. Okay, so what am I saying? Pay attention to that. Who is responsible? Pay attention to that. Okay, third question to be asking yourself is this: what do I believe about this situation? What do I believe about this situation? Because the perspective that you have is very often going to dictate the response that you have. And what I find when I'm going through times that are really difficult, especially ones that are confusing, places where I don't feel like I've got my footing, times of uncertainty, there's a disappointment, there's a kind of a hard press or a trial or a suffering in my life. A lot of times what I begin to do is entertain thoughts of doubt, and I begin to be overwhelmed by despair. Have you ever been there? You're like, yeah, again, 2020, I've lived there for 8 months, right? There's this sense of almost feeling like things are ominous around us. And it's prone to be demonstrated in overreaction in people. And you can see a lot of vitriol response just in social media as one example. But what do I believe? When I begin to be overwhelmed by despair, when I begin to be overwhelmed by the doubts in me, what is very often being revealed there is that I've put my trust and I've put my faith in something lesser than Jesus. If I'm overwhelmed by despair by the election results, then I put more faith in whatever I preferred as the election result than I did in Jesus. If I'm overwhelmed by what the financial result in my life is right now based on COVID restrictions, then I put a lot more faith in my finances and my security there than I did in Jesus. That kind of that sense of being overwhelmed by those things is a good indicator that my footing wasn't on really the right foundation. Because here's what I know to be true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, Right? Jesus doesn't, he doesn't change. Guess what? Jesus doesn't change because of the results of an election. Jesus doesn't change because there's a worldwide pandemic. Jesus doesn't change because there is observable corruption or there's suffering in the world or there's injustice that's being exposed. Jesus doesn't change. And so when I find myself in a place where I am being overwhelmed by these other types of perspectives, what has happened is I'm believing in something else about the situation than I am in placing my belief, faith, trust in Jesus who does not change. And so when I'm in that place, if I'm giving way to despair, now I need to be reminded that I need to place my hope in Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. He does not move. He does not change. He is a sure foundation. And so it gives me a chance to reorient where I've placed my allegiance, where I've placed my faith. And I begin to cry out to him and rather than just cry out, right? Sometimes in our difficulty, we just cry out to Jesus, invite him to be a part of where we are and what's going on. So pay attention to what you're saying. Are you complaining or are you praising? Maybe there needs to be a little shift there. Who is responsible for what's going on in your life? Are you placing blame and just kind of trying to get through it? Or are you willing to assume your role of walking in obedience to with the Lord through this in a way that demonstrates your faith? What do you believe? Are you being overwhelmed by despair? Or are you going to cry out to Jesus and reaffirm your hope and faith in him? And then here's question number four for you note takers. It's where am I turning my eyes? Where am I turning my eyes? Here's what happens to most of us when we go through difficulties, when we're facing challenges or adversity, or when we are kind of wrestling with disappointment. We begin to look primarily at ourselves. We turn our eyes inward. And it's expressed really in a couple ways, sometimes apart, and oftentimes you find these two things going hand in hand, but it becomes expressed in being self-reliant, where I begin to just kind of close in, focus on myself, and I'm going to, in my own strength, in my own wit, in my own ability, I'm going to take care of what I can. I'm going to get my hands on it. I'm going to control it, and I'm going to consider me first. And the other thing that comes along with that is not just self-reliance, but self-preservation. I gotta protect mine, whatever that is. I've got to protect my ideology. I've got to protect my finances. I've got to protect my stuff. It becomes a me, my perspective. And if you are dealing with difficulty in your life right now, and the only thing that you can see is you and what you either need to defend or what you might lose, you are probably going through that difficulty, but you are most likely not growing in it. Because our perspective has to change. Our focus has to change in order for us to grow and mature rather than just kind of suffer through or go through what we're facing. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is being quizzed by some religious leaders. They ask him to kind of sum up the greatest commandment. Jesus, you think you're so smart. You seem to have this great wisdom. Like, can you just sum up, if there was only one thing that we were supposed to do, could you sum it up? And Jesus quotes a couple things out of the Old Testament, but they do create a summation for what God's desire is for the way that you and I live in this world. And the first thing he said is that you would love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul. Another translation adds, and all of your strength, that all of who you are would love God. Guess what? When that takes place, my eyes aren't turned inward. My eyes are turned upward. Look up. And then he says, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look out. That's one of the things that I learned very early in ministry. It's just a tagline that I use to remind myself. It might be helpful for you. But when I become self-reliant, when I become self-preserving, when I become selfish, when I become self-centered, when I begin to see those things take rise in me on occasion, I am reminded I'm looking inward and I need to look up and look out. Look up. Look out. I need to refocus my eyes on the Lord, and I need to look out for those around me with a greater consideration than just myself. So where am I turning my eyes? Are you turning inward? Are you relying on your own strength? Are you trying to preserve your stuff? Are you trying to protect your own? Or as you go through difficulty, are you able to keep your eyes on Jesus, as we are encouraged in Scripture to do? Are you able to turn your face towards Him? And that, with that redirection, to be encouraged even in difficulty, to consider those around you and to see how God could use you even in the midst of that present adversity to make a difference in lives around you as well. So what am I saying? Are you complaining? Are you praising? Who is responsible? Are you blaming, or are you taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth and obedience to the Lord? What do you believe? Are you being overwhelmed by despairing thoughts, or have you placed your hope firmly in Jesus? And where are you turning your eyes? Are you looking inward, or are you looking up and out? Worship team, if you would come back forward. Church family, I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to ask the Lord to really search our hearts. We're going to do what David did. We're going to invite the Lord to search our hearts and our minds, and in doing so, to kind of lift to the surface maybe some things that are true of us that needs to change, or some things that are true of us that need to be affirmed. And we're going to contend to walk out in maturity this week, to not just go out, but to grow through the things that we're facing. So I'm going to ask you to do something with me for just a moment. If you would just go ahead and close your eyes, just as an opportunity to close out distractions around you. I want you to imagine something with me just for a moment. What would your life look like this week as right now you choose to grow through difficulty? Maybe the thing that's kind of pressing on your heart and mind right now, maybe it's disappointment. Disappointment in maybe election outcome, disappointment in kind of the brokenness that you see in the world, disappointed in people. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself. What would it look like for you to respond in a way that chose to grow through that? Maybe you're dealing with a trial and adversity. Maybe you're dealing with an unfavorable health diagnosis, or you've got some very real financial constraints. Maybe you're wrestling with addiction, or you've got the consequences of decisions that you made in the past that are now things that you have to walk through in the present. What would it look like for you to choose to grow in the midst of that this week? What complaint will you turn into praise? In what despair will you choose hope? Where will you choose to take responsibility rather than to place blame? Lord, we recognize that we will face difficulties. Given the option, we'd rather not, but we know, Lord, that as time passes and as life moves, we're guaranteed that we'll face difficulties. So we'll all go through those, Lord, but our heart, our desire would be that we would grow through them, that we would be matured and developed by those experiences, that we would walk through those hand in hand with you, trusting in your word in a way that develops perseverance in us and creates maturity. And so Jesus, today, we ask that you would take our hands. I'm so very thankful that your word says that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So any of my friends in their present difficulty, their present suffering, their present disappointment, Lord, you are present with them in it. So take our hand and lead us forward. Change our hearts so that complaint doesn't come out, but praise pours out. Renew our minds so that we're not overwhelmed by despair, but that we can declare with confidence our hope and our faith in Jesus. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've looked to put blame on others rather than to respond to your invitation to grow. And Lord, this week, let us see the difficulties that we face as a gift and an opportunity to grow. In Jesus' name. The Message version puts that James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4 in just a little bit of a different translation. I want to read it to you and have this be our consideration as we go out today. It would read this way. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. It does feel like it's coming from all sides, doesn't it? Because you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Don't run away from the challenges that face you. That's my addition. But let it do its work so that you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Whatever you're facing, you can face with Jesus. And if you walk through it with him, you can grow as a result of that. Amen? Amen. All right, action steps for this week. If you got a smartphone or a camera, you can snap a picture of that. Consider your present difficulties. So whatever that looks like in your life, what you're walking through, are you complaining? Choose to praise in faith. Are you blaming others? Choose to do your own part. And are your eyes on yourself? Choose to look out to others and look up to Jesus.